This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. As usual, on this show, I'm joined by my friends, Arif Ruse, the man with the news. Say hello, Arif.
Hello, Richard.
And somewhere else in PJ, of course, is our friend Daniel Fernandez from DSF.my. Say hello, Daniel.
Yahoo!
Christmas is coming. Obviously, Daniel's in a good mood. How are we all this week?
Wonderful. Wonderful. Simply wonderful.
Yeah, looking forward to Christmas.
Excellent. Now, car show in three parts. Folks, if you're only just joining us for the first time, we've got news at the top of the show. And part two, we've got some local car launches. Wrapping up with a bit of a car review this week. It is the Suzuki Jimny. More pricey version of this. We'll get to that in a bit. But first, Arif, what news have you got for us this week?
Kicking things off with a reminder, please renew your road tax and insurance before it's too late, because that deadline is on December 31st, and I feel like I've seen some news reports about some planned online website maintenance, so be on the lookout for that.
But online website maintenance at the time when people are supposed to be paying their car insurance and tax.
Yeah, something like December 1890.
That's to teach them a lesson for not renewing on time. Always waiting for last minute.
Speaking of teaching people lessons, this piece of news is completely not going to do that, because I think it was for the fifth time this year, PDRM has offered more discounts for traffic offenders.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is why people don't care about traffic laws, because they can just break it and wait a few months. The government or the PDRM will offer up a discount for you to pay your summons. So it's not worth paying it on time, you know, sometimes.
Now you tell me, I went and paid mine last month, you know.
Me too.
Why are you getting summonses? That should be the bigger question here, gentlemen.
The problem is, you know, my job forces me, I mean, really forces me to speed a little once in a while.
You're doing it for the journalism.
You two are terrible.
I'm doing it to bring better news and reviews for you guys and the listeners out there. So, you know, 60 kilometer zone, I'm going 65, I get a summons. 80 kilometer, I'm doing 85, I get a summons. So I, like a very good Malaysian citizen, went and paid everything. And then now they come out with this. But, you know, I'm not angry. I'm not angry, because why? The money is going for a good cause, to upgrade the online system.
Which might or might not be online by the time you get around to paying it.
Yes. That is for those people who didn't pay on time like I did.
Anyway, if you, if you want to pay your summonses, it's a good time to do so, because the police are offering 80% off, because it's in conjunction with the Prime Minister's 100 Days of Keluarga Malaysia Aspirasi, whatever event that's happening at KL Convention Centre. It's for selected summons, not including drunk driving, running lights or accidents. So very small number of people will actually be able to qualify for this. And then it gets better. If you're in the federal territories, you get a full 80% discount. But if you're not, you can only get up to 70%. So privileged people living in federal territories, we get more discounts. And then it gets even better, because you're only eligible for these discounts if you risk contracting COVID by visiting the KL Convention Centre between December 9th and December 12th and visiting the counter at the event between certain hours. So
what on earth is this?
It just sounds like they're trying to get people to this event that they're not confident are going to turn up, you know?
It just sounds too complicated, Jim.
Yeah. Really? 80% discount on your summons? This is no way to teach people a lesson, is it? It's like, please, guys, please come and pay your summons. Please. We've been asking you nicely this entire year. Please go. Okay, fine. 50%. Wait, no. 60%. Well, you know what? 70%. No. 80%. It will give you 80% off. Please come and pay your summons. Please.
That is exactly what they did, because I remember, you know, at the start of the year, it was something like 30% off. Then it became 50% off. And now it's 80%. So when are we going to get all of our points and summonses cancelled out? That's the question.
Maybe they should use this same idea for taxes.
I totally agree. What a smart comment.
I think a lot of people would eventually start paying their taxes if they were allowed a discount on it. And we could roll that into cars purchasing as well.
Mm.
Anyway.
We had another piece of interesting news that came out this week, and it came from GoCar because they launched a new type of on-demand mobility service alongside GoCar called GoEV. And essentially, I think it is kind of a great way to get yourself into an electric car, just to try it out, just to, you know, see how it feels. So this new GoEV thing, it features 25 units of the Nissan Leaf, which Daniel said a few weeks ago should be a national car.
Exactly.
So we can try out Daniel's vision of a national car.
Not just a national car, an electric national car.
Electric national car, sorry. Mm. You can access these cars in my town, Avenue K, or somewhere in PJ, probably Daniel's house by now.
Mm. There's 5 parked outside my house.
After you basically promoted the Nissan Leaf for a few weeks, might as well, right?
My house is right outside the Renault showroom. It's a little pondo called Security.
But in terms of rates, I think this is quite interesting. We were having a discussion about this last weekend because the rates for this GoEV service, in which you can rent out a Nissan Leaf, per hour, it's 25 ringgit to rent an EV.
I wouldn't say it was a discussion. It was very much a divisive topic, I thought. The idea, like you say, you two sit on one side of the fence, I guess, and I sit on the other side of the fence. And it's interesting because I'm the one that uses public transportation and taxis most often, right?
Yeah.
And so I use services that I pay on an hourly basis, a daily basis, or whatever. And the price that they are looking at, 249 ringgit, I believe, is the daily rate, correct?
Yeah, but it decreases over the longer
it decreases,
you
subscribe to, yeah. And 25 ringgit per hour. I think he's giving the wrong idea. I love the idea of, you know, being able to rent these cars and try them out and do all of that kind of stuff. But there is this discussion, and we have heard it a lot, that electric cars and EVs are for people who are wealthier.
Yeah.
And I think all this kind of does is kind of reinforces the idea that this is for the wealthy. You know, but then, Ari, if you came out with a good point, and Daniel, you agreed with it, I believe, this could be that, you know, that kind of nudge to get people to try it and see it less as a regular thing and more of, oh, we'll just try it once, you know, and maybe that could be the push that people might need to start exploring into EVs.
You see, the thing is, like what you just said, Richard, it sounds expensive. And I know when I put up the story on DSF, a lot of people saying, you know, the 2-year subscription is 2,499 a month. So if you times it by 12 and then you times it again by 2 over 2 years, it's quite a lot of money. Yes, it is a lot of money. But understand this, buying an EV might not be your thing right now. You might say, you know, oi, I'm going to buy an EV. What about, you know, battery? What about maintenance? What about this? What about updates? What about depreciation and everything else? They're taking away all that. They're saying, okay, listen, come. Try for 2 years. Yes, it's not cheap. Maybe it might even be a catalyst. As you see more people driving this car around, other people say, hey, Nissan Leaf, hey, okay, lah, quite nice, quite spacious, you know?
Yeah.
Or, you know, as you see more on the road, you start saying, hey, actually, why is everyone harping on this Tesla, Tesla, Tesla? Actually, this is all quite good. What? And then got Nissan back up here. It's been around for a long time. The Nissan Leaf is the best-selling EV in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a good jump start.
I totally agree. And I was just thinking about it on the way to work today. I have a lot of friends like you, Richard, who don't really have a car. You know, they take grabs everywhere, or they walk and take the train everywhere. But some days, you know, they're in the center of town and they spend the whole day there, but they need to go from place to place. And, you know, instead of renting out a Prodo or Beza for slightly cheaper, why not, like you said, everybody's talking about electric cars. There's this new tax break and tax incentive thing. And these are, you know, people who can afford to live in KL would probably buy a car if they really, really thought it was necessary. But don't want one and are just curious about what that experience of an electric vehicle is like. So I think people like those would be willing to get into one of these cars.
More likely, would you say then on like the kind of per hourly basis and try it, you know, that way?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay.
I'd imagine, you know, you need to go into the center of town or Hartamas or something like that for 2 or 3 hours just for lunch. And suddenly you felt like you needed to stop by IKEA to pick up something. you know, that would be kind of useful in my eyes.
I'll give you an example. A very close relative of mine who just got a job in the center of KL. She's moved from a job in PJ to right in the center of KL. So she's driving a Malaysian car, very simple, basic Malaysian car. She's not a car person, but she was thinking about this whole electric movement and all that. Now, she only goes into town 3 times a week, okay? And the rest of the time, she works from home or, you know, it's going into clients' offices and all that. So I said, what's your average mileage? What kind of kilometers do you do in a week? She said, not even 300. Mm. 200, 250, 260. That includes, you know, going and having lunch, meeting some friends for dinner, things like that. Because she's not someone who drives to Malacca to have chendol or drive to Ipoh to have chicken rice, you know? Mm. She gets it all in PJ. So it's getting an EV like this. I mean, I'm talking about the ownership thing. You know, you only need to charge it once a week. And you can do it on a Saturday or Sunday.
Yep.
You know, when you're at home or the day that you're working at home, the whole day, you just charge it. And, you know, you don't have to worry about range anxiety. You don't have to worry about anything else. And then this way also, the battery life will last a lot longer.
Mm.
So I think it's a very good move and it's a good starting point.
But I guess, you know, the question is whether people will actually take it up. Because we've said plenty of times, like, you remember the Nissan subscription service.
Yes.
And we've had a few innovative new ideas to get people, you know, to rent cars and car sharing and all that stuff. But I mean, it's taken off a little bit, not a lot.
Yes, but you must think, you see, now the AP holders, Pakema, they are pushing for Teslas to be sold here, right?
Yeah.
They want to sell, you know, 500 Teslas. Now, where's the after sales? Where's the backup? Where's the warranty? Where's the over-the-air updates? They keep saying, oh, we can do everything. They don't have workshops. They don't have professional people to look after these vehicles.
Mm.
They don't have trained professionals. I mean, if you go to Porsche Malaysia and look at the bay for their Taycans, it's a specially prepared bay with proper, you know, fireproof equipment and everything else. And the people are certified to work on an EV. You get what I mean?
Yep, yep.
You can't just take a normal bay and put a lift and say, oh, I can look after EVs. A lot of people are going into this game thinking, yeah, this one is simple, no problem, we can do one. I'm going to see a lot of people getting into trouble, getting electrocuted, things, you know, catching fire, things going wrong. And then they're going to say, oh, it's not our fault, it's the manufacturer's fault. It's not. You cannot sell a recon car without having proper backup. It's been going on for years with petrol and diesel cars.
Yeah.
Now this is an EV. You know, this is a completely new technology. Even the car manufacturers who are playing this game are going in very carefully and investing, you know?
Yep.
So it's no longer about charging infrastructure. It's about understanding the concept. Yes, they are lower in maintenance. There's less maintenance. There's less wear and tear. But when something goes wrong, it has to be done professionally.
Totally agree.
Okay, folks, after all that, we're going to have to take a short break. We've got some more stuff coming up, of course, after these messages. A bit of an experimental Toyota GT Yaris. It's all fueled by something that's not petrol. Don't go anywhere. You're tuned into Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome back to Cruise Control. My name is Rich Bradbury, and if you're only just joining us, we've had a bit of a chat about the summon discounts. Up to 80% you can get on your summonses. We spoke a little bit about GoEV, and now we're going to be speaking about an experimental Toyota GR Yaris. Tell us all about it.
As mentioned, it's not fueled by petrol, but it's fueled by hydrogen, but not in the way that we think of it. Because usually when we talk about hydrogen cars, you know, people say it's an electric car that's powered by a hydrogen stored in a fuel cell. But this hydrogen car, I think we alluded to it maybe a few months ago. It's a car that's literally fueled by hydrogen, as in you go to a hydrogen pump and fill it inside and it runs and sounds like a regular car. It even uses the same 1.6-liter turbo three-cylinder that we found in the GR Yaris, which everybody loves. The changes made to this engine to, you know, make it run on hydrogen is the fuel supply lines and the injectors, which is higher pressure. Of course, they adjusted the timing, changed the fuel tank to make it more rigid to withstand the pressures of hydrogen and all that stuff. And it's very, very interesting because this project is led by Toyota's president, Akio Toyoda. This has been 1 year in development. And this is the first time that they're actually going to put it in a road car and test it out fully. So they ran this engine in a Corolla race car last year that completed a five-hour race at Japan's Suzuka track. And before that, a 24-hour race at Fuji Speedway. And it sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
think, you know, it sounds brilliant. It sounds exactly like what race cars should sound like. And I just brought this car up because I wanted to highlight the fact that Akio Toyoda is a proper car enthusiast, because he has been on a personal mission with this car, the hydrogen internal combustion engine, as well as the development of the Toyota GR Yaris. And he wants to make cars fun again. You know, the world is moving towards electrification and electric cars making no sound, and everything's about being silent and serene. This is about keeping what we loved about cars, the noise, the sound, everything that you can't have in electric cars anymore. And he even said, the enemy of the future is not the internal combustion engine. The enemy is carbon. And that is true. Mm. Everything we talk about is always about emissions rather than, you know, mostly about sound or something like that. Akio Toyoda, he appreciates what makes a car feel alive. And all these sensations really go into the fact that that makes me think that if there was any car company that was going to keep, you know, the traditional sense of the motor vehicle or motorsports alive, it might be Toyota, because even despite their, you know, electric project with Subaru, this thing still exists. And it provides a really, really good point for the future of the internal combustion engine. In the future as well, they'll also be developing internal combustion engines with synthetic fuel, and have announced that they're even going to do more research in that by taking synthetic fuel and hydrogen cars into a racing series in Japan. So, well done, Toyota. I can't help but be a fan of you guys at the moment.
You know, guys, I've been to Toyota R&D a few years ago, just before the Tokyo Motor Show, and I saw what they were doing. We cannot talk about it. We cannot write about it because it's all still, you know, in development stage. We saw things like this going on. We saw a lot of development. Mm. We saw a lot of technology being shared with us, even in autonomous driving. But what I want you all to appreciate right now, like how I appreciated it, was Toyota is not agreeing with the rest of the world and saying, oh, we have to go electric, you know? Because why? They've also done their research to see. Japan is a country which does not have minerals, does not have petroleum, nothing. So they have to figure out how to run things as is. You get what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So can you imagine years ago, everyone was deciding between a petrol car and a diesel car, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think tomorrow, Toyota wants people to decide between a hydrogen car and an electric car.
Mm.
And the thing is, by doing this, they're also telling people like me, who has a few old, you know, petrol-powered cars, we'll help you produce a kit to convert it to be fueled by hydrogen or synthetic fuel.
Mm. Exactly. Because as they said, you know, the only things that you have to adjust are the fuel delivery systems and probably the timing of your engine. Rich, what do you think, you know, hydrogen or electric in the future?
It's a difficult topic. I mean, and I think I've kind of pitched in about it before. And
there's no right or wrong. There's no right or wrong.
No, exactly. And I think a lot of it comes down to the development of the tech that goes into these engines, right? You know, in long term, I think hydrogen is probably a more efficient solution. You know, the pollutant that it kicks out is water.
Yep.
But in the development cycle of creating these engines and whatnot, we know that battery-powered stuff and electric-powered stuff is not the cleanest of energy when it comes to making those engines. In fact, we've seen pollution in some of the cities that create batteries go up by 60%, you know, huge amounts. And so until that issue is solved, there's no wonder that Japan are looking way ahead. It's almost like they're two steps ahead. You know, the next step may well be battery, but the one after that, I think, will probably be hydrogen or some iteration of hydrogen or another kind of fuel.
Totally agreed. I think the future is very bright for the motor car.
Mm.
We may move away from petrol and everything, but with hydrogen in the picture, that's a very real reality for us to look forward to. Speaking of real realities, we have seen the launch of the new Honda City hatchback, haven't we, Daniel?
Mm. That is a nice looking car, but I'm not happy with this launch.
Uh-oh.
Why?
Because they've discontinued the Jazz. I've always liked the Jazz.
Oh,
so with
yes.
With the arrival of this car, they've said, sorry, we are discontinuing the Jazz. And it's a bit sad because we saw the Jazz at the Tokyo Motor Show 2 years ago and we thought, whoa, this new Jazz needs to come to Malaysia. And they gave us a lot of information on the car, which gave us the impression that it's definitely coming to Malaysia. And now they say, oh, no lie, no, only Honda City hatchback. I mean, it's a good-looking car. It's got a lot of features. It's almost a Jazz, but it's not the Jazz. You get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Lots of people called Jazz are going to be very happy you said those words.
But you know, I've known this for Honda Malaysia. They will say this, and then next year, poop, launch of new Honda Jazz.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a branding thing, right? Because people fell in love with the Honda City more than they did with the Jazz. The Jazz was just kind of the extra car in the house, whereas the City was everybody's first car, really, at one time.
It was an upgrade from a Malaysian car.
Yeah, as bad as that sounds. But but
you know what? I never thought of it like that. But then the more I think about it, yeah, you're right. You're right.
It is true, right?
Everybody I know has gone from a Malaysian-built car to a Honda City,
Yeah, and then they step up to a Civic. And then if you buy a Civic, you're going to buy a BMW. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
But we have some launch details. As Daniel mentioned, it's the replacement for the Honda Jazz, which is really, really sad. But because it's a hatchback, it's a practically a more practical version of the Honda City sedan. Comes with a 1.5-liter iVTEC engine, four cylinders, 120 horsepower, 145 newton meters of torque with a CVT. It's slightly shorter, but slightly taller than the sedan, but you still get a lot of boot space and a lot of packaging space because, good news, Daniel, they've also included the Jazz's very famous Ultra seats where you could literally fold the seats down in like 300 million different ways.
Sorry, fold up.
Fold up, sorry.
You fold up, then you can put a potted plant inside, maybe even two, you know.
I guess, you know, that's their target market because they did specifically say potted plants rather than surfboards.
I was just going to say, that's a very specific need. You know?
No, because that's what I did when I had it for tests before.
I was going to say, it sounds like you've done it, you know, from experience.
Yeah, I went to Sungai Buloh, bought some potted plants. Then, you know, I thought to myself, okay, now I'm going to see whether this car can do it or not. And it did it.
Wonderful.
I think the dimensions of the car are very similar to the Jazz. So expect this new City hatchback to actually fit quite a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of variants, there are three for the moment. S, which is the base model, 75,000 ringgit. LED running lights, four airbags, stability control, Bluetooth head units with four speakers. Fabric seats as well. You step it up a little bit more. An extra 8,000 gets you the E variant, which is two-tone wheels, 8-inch infotainment with CarPlay and Android Auto, as well as automatic climate control. And then you step up to the V, which is the top-line model for the time being. Gets you full LED lights, fog lamps, 8 speakers, leather with white contrast stitching, and lane keep assist. But sooner or later, apparently in quarter one, quarter two in 2022, they are going to be launching the EHEV RS, which will apparently be the only model with Honda sensing. So that's the model to look out for. And it's probably going to be something like 92,000-93,000 ringgit, isn't it, Daniel?
It will not be cheap, but it'll be worth the money because of the technology.
We alluded to the fact that people usually upgrade to a Honda, but because the Myvi is so good right now, will people actually think this is a step up?
Well, you know, in my point of view, people will still upgrade because brand. It's nothing else. It's just brand.
Do you agree with that, Rich?
Yeah, I pretty much do. Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that.
And you have to remember, the direct competitor to this car is actually the Toyota Yaris.
Is it going to be that, you think?
Yes. The Toyota Yaris has been the direct competitor. It's been doing well for such a long time. And the Toyota Yaris has also sold very well in the last 3 years since it's been launched. So now, for the first time, it's got a real competitor because the Honda Jazz was already about to be phased out. So the Yaris was fresh, it was new, it was exciting. And you know, the current City hatchback, all three variants are priced very close to the three variants that Toyota provides with the Yaris.
Wow.
And the features are also quite close. I mean, of course, because the City hatchback is newer, it's got some extra new features. But you see, this is the thing. Now, what's going to happen to the Yaris? Will it still survive as long as the City hatchback has got this kind of pricing? And then with the EHEV coming along, a lot of people will turn around and say, oh, this car is starting to look a bit aged. So you've got the Myvi on one end, you know, just below the Yaris, and you got the City hatchback just above the Yaris. So it's going to be a very tough time for the Yaris in the next 1 year.
Interesting stuff.
We have one more car to go through, which is the Hyundai Palisade. It's arriving in Malaysia this week, in fact. We've referred to this Hyundai Palisade quite a bit, so I'm going to give you guys, well, the listeners really, a proper introduction of Hyundai's biggest SUV because we have referred to it quite a lot. This Hyundai Palisade was originally made for the US market and is named obviously after the Palisades in New Jersey, which is a massive 40-mile-long, 165-meter-tall basalt cliff, which then in turn translates to a very good name for the Hyundai Palisade because this, from the side, it just looks like an entire cliff. It's very big.
It's big.
Rectangular as well. He's even got very muscular arches, tall rear lights, big wheels, and a kind of, you know, Korean Ford Explorer feel about it.
It looks like a bulldog.
Yes, it does.
It's got that vibe to it. You know?
I feel like it's aged a bit, though, because this car was originally launched in 2018. So, you know, it was the early stages of Hyundai's new, wacky, colorful designs. But still quite attractive to me, I think. This car will go ahead against the likes of the Mazda CX-9. So think about it in terms of that size. I have two engine choices to choose from. A 3.8-liter V6 with almost 300 horsepower or a 2.2-liter four-cylinder diesel. And I really, really, really like this car because it's even got those, you know, diamond-pleated leather seats, and it's Napa leather as well, actually.
Oh, get you. Listen to this.
It's got an amazing sound system, you know, all of these touchscreen stuff. But I feel like, you know, they should have brought the Kia version, which is called the Telluride. I think that's a bit more bling and a bit more hip and upcoming with the KL influencers, such as you two.
What? I mean, I'm looking at this SUV and I'm sorry, guys, I'm not drawn to it. The design does not tickle me. Mm. In fact, when I look at it, I think the Kia version is so much more attractive. In fact, the Kia Sorento is even so much more attractive, even though it's one level down. And then, you know, if you say it's a direct competitor to the Mazda CX-9, it's no fight, la. Come on. The CX-9 is a gorgeous vehicle. And then you got other rivals from Europe, like the Mercedes GLE and the Volvo XC90. So I think Hyundai are going to have a problem trying to sell this Palisade. Yes, it's done well overseas because of their influencers, BTS, you know?
Yep.
The boy band. But, you know, I think Malaysians are not taken by, you know, they love BTS, but they're not going to take the Palisade just because BTS sat in it, you know?
Daniel, I'm kind of surprised you knew what BTS was.
Oh, come on. He listens to them every day. Have you not been in his car?
Yeah, it's the Bangkok transit system, right?
I'm inclined to agree with Daniel on this. I mean, I love the way the CX-9 looks, always have done, and we've said it before, particularly when it's in that red. The Kia, the Telluride version, I think if it's done in specific colors, particularly if it's in that black, the kind of all blacked out version, you know, looks very kind of Range Rover-y. Mm. So it has that appeal to me. But yeah, I don't know. I could see how this would appeal to a certain demographic. But yeah, I don't think it stands out as much as the other two.
It's just a bit, you know, suburban American feel to it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not a fan of that front grille either, I have to admit.
Me too.
But anyway, that's that. Shall we take a break?
Yes.
Let's have a break. Folks, if you're tuned in, you're only just joining us, and we're two-thirds of the way through the show. Where have you been? If you missed any part of this show so far, wait until the end, and you can download the podcast and have a listen back to the bits that you missed. We suggest you download the BFM app and have a listen back there. It's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. We'll be right back after these messages, where we are doing a car review of the new version of the Suzuki Jimny. Right, Daniel?
Yes.
Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bombing frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. We've been through discounts for your summonses, some Go EV stuff, Toyota's hydrogen car, Honda City hatchback, the Hyundai Palisade. Now, the Suzuki Jimny. We've spoken about this a couple of times. We've kind of gone, how much? And we're going to try and talk a little bit about that. Now, Daniel, you took it for a ride. How was it?
Now, I was lucky enough to be one of the first few to take it out for a ride. It was just registered. They gave me the keys. There was, you know, just delivery mileage on it. And, you know, I have to say, there was a little bit of excitement because after driving a lot of high-tech cars, a lot of supercars, you know, I'm not trying to brag, you know, but I drive around Sepang, you know, I took a couple of million-dollar cars out the last few weeks. It's just, you know, the day in the life of Daniel Fernandez. But anyway, you know, getting into this, the Suzuki Jimny there was excitement, you know. There was a little bit of excitement. I got into the Jimny. It was easy to get in. You know, my age, you know, the bad back and all that. I just slid into the seat. The height was just nice. Started the vehicle. Now it's using a 1.5 engine. Before it was a 1.3, you know. So you start the engine. It's quiet enough. It's a basic vehicle. There's hardly any cladding on the pillars, and you know the roof lining is very slim. That's saying there's not much padding. Anyway, so we start moving out of the showroom. We get in onto the highway, and then we're driving in traffic. We're driving in inner city traffic. So there's nothing much to talk about. It's easy to drive. It's great visibility because it's a little bit high. And it's got a lot of glass space around you, and it's so small. It's probably half the size of a 7 Series BMW in terms of length.
I feel like it's about the size of an Axia. Is that right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. Actually, yes. It's about the size of it's an Axia that's been jacked up, you know?
Yeah.
So it's small. It's got nice glass area. It's square. It's boxy. And I was on the road for about an hour and a half, and, you know, people were giving me the thumbs up. Some people took out their phone in traffic and took a picture of me. And I said, you know, please talk to my agent, you know, before you take a picture of me. But actually, they were taking a picture of the jimny and not me. And you know, because it didn't have tinted glass, they were forced to have my picture, my face in the picture. But, you know, as I kept driving and I noticed that, you know, I was actually having a little bit of fun with the car, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's perky. It's got enough get up and go. It's not, you know, it's not something you go around a corner fast or, you know, you do funny things. It's just a lovely town car. And then I went home. I did a bit of work. And then I waited till the late evening. And I told my wife, I said, let's go for a drive in the new Jimny. She was all excited because I get my wife to test drive every single car I bring back as much as possible because I like a woman's perspective on cars, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She got in the car. She's, oh, comfortable, nice, great, everything. And then as she was driving, she said, you know, it's so noisy. So what do you mean so noisy? It's so noisy. I can hear the tire. I can hear things hitting the fender. So basically, whenever it picks up anything from the road, the noise travels into the cabin. This is because this is actually a very basic 4x4. This is not your Mazda CX-9 or your, you know, Volvo XC90 or your Mercedes GLE. This is a very basic 4x4 Jeep. And then after a while, I started realizing that it's not gone that much forward. From the last model till now, the only change is the looks and the 1.5 engine. So obviously, Suzuki Japan told the engineers, take a break. We'll just get the designers to do something. Because there's no difference in the cabin environment, you know?
Yep.
I'm talking about, you know, uplifting the cabin, getting more sound deadening inside and you know, making it more modern, you know? And this is probably why in Europe, for a short while, this vehicle stopped selling because European legislation said, no, it's too commercial, you know?
Mm.
And so I think this is why it does well in third world countries. India, it's selling like crazy. Indonesia, you know, other parts of Asia, South America. These are places where, you know, this is acceptable.
Yep.
Mm. And of course, in Japan, you know, it's so iconic, it's so trendy, it's so funky. So we came back home, then, you know, slept for the night. The next morning, I was going to Sepang to test drive a sports car with almost the same value, not selling value, iconic value, the Porsche 911, you know?
Yeah.
So on my way to Sepang, I decided to find a Ladang Kelapa Sawit, you know?
Mm. Oh, you went bush bashing.
Ah, so I found a Ladang Kelapa Sawit where there was no barrier, you know, the dirt road got no barrier, you know? It was dry weather, so I went inside the Ladang Kelapa Sawit. I drove around for about an hour. And I tell you, this thing, there is no stopping it. I went over dead trees. I went inside holes. I came out of holes. There were, you know, people threw some old tires there. I went over the tires. Nothing, no problem. Off-road, this one, no problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Of course, you hear the noise and everything. And you get bounced around like crazy. You know, my head was bobbing up and down like, you know, the little doll, you know, you see in the shops with a little thumbs up. Anyway, it was great. You know, it was great. And at no point was I afraid that I was going to get stuck. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then as I was coming out of the Ladang Kelapa Sawit, I realized that I went in completely still in two-wheel drive mode. I didn't even use four-wheel drive mode.
That's the spirit of the Jimny. Right?
Yeah, so that's how capable this vehicle is on and off-road. So, okay lah, I did my Kelapa Sawit thing, then I came back on the tar road. And then, you know, of course, you build up speed. You know, you build up speed. I went up to 110. At 110, it gets a little bit noisy. And every single bad construction effort by the road contractor is felt in the car, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's got skinny tires. It doesn't have big tires. It's got skinny tires. It's got a lot of travel. It's got very little sound insulation. So everything comes in. But, you know, I was still smiling. I wasn't angry. But by the time I reached the circuit and did my other car test drive, and when I was driving back, you know, after 4 hours, tired in the sun and everything else, then I started saying, no, I cannot live with this car. Because why? I'm an old man. I want something comfortable. I want a soft seat. I want a nice plush ride. I want to crank up the radio and listen to some nice Al Jarreau, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't get this with the Jimny. So the Jimny has evolved into a high-level Dusun machine. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know? I go and visit my Durian Dusun, my Rambutan Dusun. Okay, I got money. I buy one of these because it will not fail me. If I go with my pickup truck or I go with my expensive SUV, some warning light might come on or, you know, the tire costs too high. This one, perfect. So they have delivered quite a bit of number of these cars already to Malaysians. And I can understand why this $168,000 Jimny is selling well, even though people are saying, hey, too expensive. Because it serves a purpose, and that purpose, there's nothing else that comes close unless it's another Jimny.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
So I'm going to share some of the little facts about this car, okay? It's 1.5 engine. It hasn't got bags of power. Top speed is about 160 kilometers, but that's all you need, you know? It's reasonably comfortable. It's got everything that you would need. And like I said, I went into the Ladang Kelapa Sawit with two-wheel drive mode active. So if it was four-wheel drive, I could probably go in after a long rainy day and still come out with only dirt, nothing else, no worries. That is the new Suzuki Jimny.
The darling of the Dusun.
Darling of the Dusun.
Nice tagline, yes.
I also work here most days. Please contact me if you need a voiceover for your wedding and your bar mitzvahs. Anyway, that has been Cruise Control for this week's show. If you're only just joining us, of course, we've done the salmon discounts. We've done the Go EV. We've talked about Toyota's hydrogen car, Honda City hatchback, Hyundai Palisades, and of course, that glowing review of the Suzuki Jimny. Don't go anywhere. More coming up after this. This has been Cruise Control on behalf of myself, Daniel Fernandez, and Arif Ruse for BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.